Cool. So, hi Robin, can you introduce yourself a bit and just tell us who you are and what you do?
I am an ex-graduate of Moore College.
Okay.
And I did MTS in New South Wales University. This is all about maybe, how long ago was it? Coming to 4 years now. And I, at a certain point in time, when I was in Moore College, made up my mind to come back to Malaysia to serve the gospel, serve Jesus.
Okay. And so how are you serving the gospel now?
Well, I began by trying to teach the Bible in the Anglican Church.
Okay.
And then at sometime about 2 years ago, I worked out that I could do the same, perhaps in a way that was better in a church plant that's called Christ Evangelical Reformed Church, which we started around about 2 years ago now.
Okay. And so Christ Evangelical Reformed Church, or CERC, where is that in Malaysia? Like, where are we?
We're in Bandar Sunway.
Okay.
Which is part of PJ, Jalan Jaya, which is a city in its own right. And that's kind of southwest of the city, KL City, which everyone knows.
Okay, yeah.
And then if you keep going further, you hit the sea, Port Klang.
Okay, cool. And so it's been going for 2 years?
Yeah, we're coming on to August 31st, which is our foundation day. That will be the second foundation day we're celebrating.
Okay. Now, for those of us back in Australia, we know where Malaysia is, hopefully. It's not too far away. Nice place to visit on holidays.
Near Perth.
We probably don't have a good idea about what the church scene is like in Malaysia, and I know that's a huge question, but can you tell us a little bit about what Christianity looks like in Malaysia, or Peninsula Malaysia?
Well, the Roman Catholics came around about the 16th century, or maybe slightly later, or 17th century, early 17th century. But I think the long and short of it is that we haven't really had very solid gospel Bible ministry that maybe some of you are more familiar with. In many cases, across denominations, independent or mainstream, or charismatic Pentecostal or conservative, across denominations, you'll find it's a very mixed bag of teaching. You will not usually find expository preaching, if you know what that is, in terms of not just working through the Bible sequentially, but trying your best to try to design the church's ministry of the word according to, in one sense, the Bible's own natural revelatory contours. Salvation history, for instance. So, for instance, sometimes churches may do sequential preaching in a New Testament book, but they might not do the Old Testament at all.
Okay.
So, you know, it largely is a result of culture, consumer interests, desires, ability of the pastor, etc., etc. So, Malaysian Christianity, like any other place, is a function of what people are used to, what's current, what the trends are, what the local seminaries are capable of producing, and at the end of the day, history repeats itself.
Okay.
So you have probably a huge epidemic of people who don't really understand the gospel, even though they may be pastors.
Right. Wow. Okay. Okay, changing tack a bit, the work I'm involved in and which we're supporting is at Monash University. A lot of Malaysian students at Monash University, particularly because there's a Monash campus here in Petaling Jaya. And Robin, you know all about Focus. You've been part of it yourself at the University of New South Wales. What's the importance or relevance of a work like Focus on the Australian end of things?
Well, I mean, on a fundamental level, the importance of focus is, by definition, the Malaysian goes overseas, the Malaysian's there, you should evangelize the Malaysian. That's the bottom line. If the Malaysian is away from their natural confines of their comfort zone, and in one sense, people who may restrict their access to the gospel, well, going overseas is your clear chance. You should take every opportunity, Paul says, to share the gospel. So it's a no-brainer. So it's about evangelism. But for the many Christians who go overseas, it helps, if you've understood what I said just now about Malaysia, it helps if people who have been used to a certain kind of Christianity are given a chance to see the Bible, the church, Jesus, the gospel in a new light.
Okay.
And sometimes I call it the lecture hall effect. So if you're used to thinking a certain way and perhaps reading the Bible wrongly a certain way, when you try to explain that to them within the confines of, say, the building they grew up in doing all that, they struggle to see the paradigm shift that you're presenting. But then they go overseas and they see that they're in a different environment, and the preacher is speaking in a different accent, and their friends are multinational, and they've got Australian friends thrown into boot, and then the preacher's talking about how, look at verse 2, or see how this is saying this about this doctrine or something. And then, for some reason, for the same reason why people go overseas, things sound different and clear for once in their life. And so, one of the helpful things about being overseas is that it gives you a new angle, a fresh angle. And from a Christian perspective, from a gospel-loving evangelical perspective, that's the opportunity to teach them what the true gospel on biblical Christianity is.
Okay.
And thirdly, perhaps importantly, many Christians go overseas as Christians with the wrong or false motivation of trying to find a better life. And they invest a great deal financially into that, and time as well. This is the opportunity for mature Christians in Australia to teach Christians that the path to glory that Jesus took involves suffering, and that true gospel understanding brings courage, not fear, and brings joy and not despair. So there's a great deal of ungodliness in wanting to find the better life, not only in Melbourne, but eventually New York, California, wherever the career leads them. And this is where mature Christians can persuade them to face their worst fears, to trust Jesus who was crucified, and to find glory in serving Jesus in Malaysia.
Okay.
Or wherever it is that they don't want to go.
Sure. So they need to count the cost, like we all do, of following Christ, and not just take the easy road or the prosperous road, or the perceived prosperous road to the West. You'd be wanting to encourage them to come back home to Malaysia.
Yeah, and that's both the great opportunity as well as the great danger of engaging with Christians or even non-Christians. Once they get converted overseas, they don't want to leave because that's when they learn the gospel. But what we've got to teach them is to see that heaven is where Jesus is, and not like on the street or wherever the coffee's best, and wherever the staff workers spend hours talking about wonderful things of God, along with a good cup of caffeine.
Yeah, sure.
Which I miss dearly.
Yeah, right. Okay, good. Okay, I'm just going to stop it there for a sec, because it's saying that... Okay. So there's a real challenge then for those Malaysian students, or anyone really, Indonesian students or Chinese students, to consider how they can best serve the gospel, which may well be back in their home country. This is something that is not just theory for you, right? You were in Sydney for how long?
Around about nearly half my life.
Right, a long time. So I imagine you're a human being. I imagine there was a temptation to stay and do ministry in Sydney.
It wasn't just a temptation. It was a practical offer. I mean, I was asked to do ministry in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
There's the whole question of, I guess, wisdom and decision making.
Mm.
But I think in the short time we have, the larger issue is really, if you can get right down to it, the larger issue is really, why don't we want to come back to Malaysia? And mm-hmm. I think the real reasons are not because we've either got rational reasons for or against.
Mm.
I think the real reason is that we don't want to grow up and trust trust what the gospel teaches us about the Christian way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger of that, on the flip side, is also that we have a false belief that God protects His people by keeping them out of harm's way.
Mm.
And that the Christian can have the good life materially as well as have orthodoxy at the same time for any price.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to say at some point, what are you willing to do in order to live out the fact that as a Malaysian, for instance,
mm.
You have a great opportunity of being a Christian witness,
mm.
as well as taking what you have in the gospel
mm.
and benefiting both yourself and society and your church by living it out with other fellow nations who are mm. struggling.
Mm.
And I think when you do that, you will find that actually, you can ask a couple of the Malaysians who were torn both ways and then just bit the bullet and came back.
Mm.
And maybe didn't even necessarily work it out as much as I had to intellectually. But when they came back, they found they grew up.
Okay.
And they enjoyed Christianity a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And despite all the things people tell you, the reality is serving Jesus here in Malaysia is a great privilege.
Mm.
Our church, for instance, once we started it, at the early stages, of course, we were preaching through every week to about maybe 6 or 7 people,
mm-hmm.
and there was about maybe 60 people tonight.
Okay.
But the numbers are not the most impressive thing we've seen from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The most impressive thing we have seen is how God saves people,
mm.
and God actually speaks to people from the scriptures, from the text, when we preach faithfully from it, in such a way that people actually begin to take seriously what Jesus has done for them, and then actually put aside the old self
mm.
and start actually living out the gospel in a way which for years, as a result of poor teaching or not understanding the gospel properly for themselves,
mm.
for years they've just been struggling with.
Mm.
Now, these people I'm thinking of, they're still working hard at it.
Mm.
And it's not easy, and they still struggle with materialism or wanting to get out of this country and all that.
Mm.
But when we are here, and if you have matured in Melbourne to a point where you understand how important the gospel is such that you can come back,
mm.
You are a great encouragement to the people here.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find that you yourself are humbled by how much the other people here, local Christians,
mm.
are growing, and you will find that you yourself will have to be honest about the ways in which you have to grow up
mm.
as a Christian.
Mm.
So the benefits of being a Malaysian Christian in Malaysia are enormous.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I don't think if I was in Australia,
mm.
I'd have grown the same way. I grew a lot in Australia,
mm.
but there's the slight dimension of being migrant as well. You kind of don't have to worry about that here.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up here.
Mm.
So, I think if you're a Malaysian, stronger Christianity is going to be the end point for you if you come back.
Yeah.
So the greatest beneficiary is yourself.
Yeah. So there is benefits for yourself, but as well as benefits for Malaysian churches, as well as benefit for the Malaysian society as a whole.
Yeah, actually, that's what we've both been teaching in membership, and that's what we've also been seeing.
Mm.
Also, on the point of society, when Christians migrate out of the country, they're really saying in loud, clear terms that for them, although Jesus be Lord, they determine their own destiny, that they are afraid of everything else that pagans run after. They do seek not necessarily his kingdom, but they do seek what to wear, what to eat first.
Yep.
And for them, career is the main determiner in what they do for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Christians don't have a platform from which to speak clearly about the benefits of the gospel or the confidence the gospel gives in life when they keep getting out after they've just said, do you believe in Jesus? Believe in Jesus, Lord. Bye, I'm going to New York now. I hope you'll be okay in the next 20 years. Because I think New York is better for me or something like
that. Yeah. It's probably a lot in reverse. It's a lot of the similar things that Australian Christians struggle with when faced with perhaps serving the Lord Jesus overseas. We say there's so much to do in Melbourne. Like, we can make it sound Christian by saying, oh, but there's just so much ministry here. But the fear and the danger is that we're really, that's the excuse, and we're really staying for, like you say, the coffees and the...
That's exactly right. So if you're speaking to Australians and you're speaking to Malaysians, kind of like the end point of what you're saying, the form of what you're saying might sound slightly different, but the heart of it is really, do you really understand what the gospel has done for you? Why are you so afraid? Can you not see that this is actually good for you? And I think therefore we can't get into silly discussions of, well, why do this is what happens sometimes when staff workers say to people, go home. We can't get into silly discussions which are given in answer to that question, to that exhortation. We can't get into silly discussions of, well, why should I have to go back to Indonesia when he only has to go back to Malaysia? Have you seen what Jakarta is like? Jakarta is much worse than KL. So I think if I'm going to have a pain quotient of this amount, I think he should take it too. It's not about who gets more pain or who gets more comfort. It's about the gospel. And what I think pastors like ourselves are more concerned about is whether or not we've actually been gripped by what Jesus has done for us.
Yeah.
How can we possibly speak to people confidently about what Jesus has done, securing our release from hell, our place in heaven, if we think that something as something like KL traffic jams is worse than hell?
Yes, that's right.
I think that's just the ultimate inconsistency. And nobody in their right mind will want to become a Christian when every year Christians migrate in the hundreds of thousands.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Two last ones. Maybe quicker questions. I don't know. How would you encourage supporters of AFES to pray for Malaysian students here in Melbourne? And the other question will be, if there are Malaysian students who end up watching this video who are in Melbourne right now and studying away, any last words you'd like to leave them with? But let's see the first one first. If I'm a supporter of AFES, I'm living in Melbourne, I've never been to Malaysia, but I'm passionate about reaching international students with the gospel, how should I be praying? Perhaps for those Christian students who are sitting in a focus group for 2 or 3 years, what would be good prayers?
Well, you can pray that these students get the best Bible teaching, the best sound theology that AFES can afford to give them. And of course, you're going to pray about that to make sure you financially support AFES so that they can afford good guys on the ground, women on the ground, who are not only going to take an interest in the students' lives, but in their in the students' thinking about God and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
If the students don't have good doctrine and a good understanding of God, they're not going to be able to serve the church here in Malaysia at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be forever wrapped up in the problems of every phase of life. Family, housing, financing, retirement, the whole thing.
Mm.
The only way we're going to be able to serve Jesus well is if we know Him and His apostles' teaching. So let's pray together that all the staff workers at AAPS are clear and helpful. Let's pray also that students are mature and independent to some extent. It takes a great deal of maturity to cope with being in a foreign country and to be an independent student. Asian countries don't train independence very well, so when they go overseas, it's a big shock to them, the whole education system. And coping with that, as well as learning new things in the Bible, is a double onslaught. So rather than perhaps pray for the AFS workers to be able to perfectly minister to every subtle nuance of every nation and every student that comes, let's pray for the students themselves to be able to take what comes their way and to be independent learners, both in their studies as well as the scriptures, to be hassling their staff workers and say, what does the Bible say about Trinity? What does this mean about what I learned in my church back home? And how come you say this? And all that kind of stuff. And then to take, as I've said in a previous clip, to take all of that and to make sure that they start thinking about contextualizing that message with the same faithfulness of the gospel for back home. I think the hardest thing for a AFS worker and hardest thing for a student of a focus work is to remember that what they're really trying to do is to, in the case of a Malaysian, learn how to be Malaysian church builders whilst in Melbourne. Because they're not in Malaysia.
Yes.
But the moment they are trained to adapt, survive in Monash and Melbourne, they'll be only good for that in one sense. So kind of keeping the whole, keeping grounded in the fact that God's given them the gift of being able to be Indonesian missionaries or Malaysian missionaries or whatever, is probably one of the hardest things. It's easy to fall in love with Melbourne, isn't it? So pray for them that they'll understand this and come back.
Okay. Which leads nicely to, if you had a few words to say to, you know, the Malaysian med student or Malaysian engineering student who's in Monash in Melbourne now, they're in their second year, they've been coming to Focus for a while, and I'm sure there's something that drives them crazy about Melbourne. You know, the shops close at 5 and there's nothing happens after dark and the city's empty or whatever. But there probably are other parts of Melbourne which look pretty attractive. What would you want to say to those students?
I don't even know whether this is necessarily true anymore, but they say when you're a student, you have more time than you'll ever have in your life. I know it's true when you have start-ending kids. So I would say study hard, make sure you continue to honor those who have given you scholarship money, whatever it is. But most importantly, make sure that while you're there and you're in a good church where you have access to a pastor who can teach the scriptures, that you work very hard at trying to understand the Bible for yourself. You probably can't finish everything, you can't learn everything. But now's the time to read a couple of good books on doctrine, a couple of good books on biblical theology, a couple of good books on maybe even ethics, and on maybe books, a couple of commentaries on the Bible. Start getting basic skills which will make you more than useful when you come back to churches like the one I run here. Start thinking about how you can best serve them. Maybe if your gift is Bible study leading, or you think you're someone who can actually explain things well, maybe you should start doing a couple of courses on actually getting skilled in that area. But the other really tough thing that will see you in good stead for when you come back is to resist the multiple temptations in Melbourne including porn and other forms of licentiousness. You've probably seen more of that than you ever did when you were a student here in Malaysia or Singapore or wherever, because it's everywhere, isn't it, in a very overt way. So I would say keep maturing in Christ and keep making sure you understand how the gospel should lead you to live in life. So grow up in the gospel and come back and be prepared to serve. Don't start building bad habits of thinking that life should be the way that you're experiencing it necessarily in Melbourne, where it's small and intimate, conversations are all wonderful, and life is generally blissful, even though your PhD or whatever may be very tough. Start thinking about how best you can serve Malaysia while you're there.
Great. Thanks, Robin. You are a very busy man. Helen, I've been staying with you on and off the past week, and yeah, you and Joy are busy and working hard, and that's a wonderful thing. So even just this 20 or 25 minutes is precious time, so thank you very much.